Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
Welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is season 3, episode 2. And today we are discussing 19 Steps by Millie Bobby Brown
with Kathleen McGirl.
But as always, we will save our ratings until the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions on all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to Carlin like we read them.
Period. So, there are some trigger warnings. May make reference to these. I will say it does a good job of not going into super detailed, except for maybe what the bodies look like after the accident. There may be references to child death, death of a parent, death in general, war, grief, injury, medical trauma, alcohol, violence, blood, vomit, body horror, pregnancy, the loss of a spouse to war, sexism, cancer or terminal illness, references to asthma and trouble breathing. The stampede and pile of bodies is pretty intense.
The PTSD.
As always, make sure to take care of yourselves, and spoilers will lie ahead.
If you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here and go read the book and then come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. Emily is going to read the summary for us from the back of the book because I do not own this one.
Yes. Love blooms in the darkest days. It's 1942 and London remains under constant threat of enemy attack as the Second World War rages on. In Bethnal Green neighborhood, Nellie Morris counts every day lucky that she emerges from the underground shelters unharmed, her loving family still surrounding her. 3 years into the war, she's grateful to hold on to the remnants of normalcy, her job assisting the mayor, nights spent at the local pub with her best friend, but after a chance encounter with Ray, an American airman stationed nearby, Nellie becomes enchanted with the idea of a broader world. Just when Nellie begins to embrace an exciting life with Ray, a terrible incident occurs during an air raid one evening, and the consequences are catastrophic. As the truth about the night is revealed, Nellie's world is torn apart. When it seems that all hope is lost, Nellie finds that against all odds, love and happiness can triumph. 19 Steps is a deeply affecting, mesmerizing page-turner inspired with the author's family history. An epic story of love, loss, and secrets, Millie Bobby Brown's debut introduced an unforgiving, brave young woman and boldly portrays the strength of the power of the world and the power of love. Nellie goes back to work to figure out what happened and decides to take minutes for the meeting about the accident. She doesn't tell the mayor what's happened until after this, but we end up finding out that 173 people were killed. They're trying to contain backlash from this incident to prevent others from not using the shelters, which is understandable because it could have had more deaths if they decided not to use the shelters. So I kind of understand that in that aspect, protecting the public from irrational decisions in grief. But I still feel like it was right to know what was going on.
Yeah, I can see both sides for sure.
Nellie ends up having an outburst after the meeting, and the mayor ends up finding out that her family has died, so she sends her home. On her way out, she ends up running into a reporter who I thought was lying. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was trying to get this group and using grief, but
I agree.
His dad passed, and he's trying to find out information about him. I just find that weird to mention that he's a reporter in general.
Agreed. Article in the end, like, is big and important. Some sort of connection.
Nellie ends up telling him vague details of where he can find his father. He also goes home and tells her mother, which she has been strictly told not to. They do end up having a funeral for her dad. It doesn't really go into much detail of the funeral, at least enough where I felt grief in that moment for her. It was just kind of vague. Which, I guess, in her perspective, she could have been numb from the situation. But Nellie does get angry at Billy at the wake because he had an asthma attack and didn't help get her sister out. I find it weird that she's also more upset about her sister dying rather than her father dying. But
I agree. I also thought it was crazy. Now she's going to be the breadwinner for the family. When I didn't even think women were allowed to work at this point. Now she got to support her family? What?
Well, we know in the United States, women were working because the men got sent off to war. So I assumed it was similar in my
brain. They also had a female mayor.
I kind of made up a story about that, how her husband got sent off to war and she had to step into that place.
Her husband wasn't at war.
But I made up that story. That made sense.
You do that all the time, dude. Liz, like, that's what happened in the book, but here's what happened in my head.
It makes more logical sense. So she ends up getting her, or blaming herself for getting her off the bus, and then starts blaming her mom for telling her to get her sister off the bus. George is blaming himself for arguing with her dad before they left. So it just kind of streams them into this panic of who's to blame when really nobody's to blame. They visit Amelia, who has had her baby, and the air raid sirens go off as they're there. Nellie does end up going to the railway arches because she couldn't go down into the tube any longer.
I thought that was going to have more significant meaning. I thought something bad was going to happen.
To be honest, the only reason why it was mentioned is to mention that the boy who was also involved now is going to the railway arches. That was the only significant I found.
That's fair.
So the inquiry starts. Nellie is insisting that she be there to take notes because she wants to make sure she records the truth. She starts off interviewing a man that was called to the shelter after the incident, and he describes trying to pull people out and get bodies on from the streets. People coming to the shelter didn't see them. The doctor that the interview said that she treated mostly no physical injuries besides color, and she believes that, you know, majority of them were all killed by suffocation. They also interview an off-duty police officer, which I believe is the same one Ray ran into, and he talks about how he pulled Ray out, and him and Ray start pulling other people out of the situation as well. Nellie starts kind of believing it wasn't Ray's fault that people rushed down the stairs, you know, if he's trying to help people get out and stuff like that. They interview a boy who said that someone fell and then someone else did and they were all stuck and he was trying to get out and he actually was pulled out and he wanted to try to save his aunt and they insisted he get out so they could deal with his aunt. The aunt describes how she was pulled out and she said that a woman was falling and then it started because the stairs were wet and the lights were dim, which is exactly what the engineer said was, you know, a potential risk. And at this point, Nellie is pretty confident that Ray has nothing to do with this and regrets yelling at him and decides to write him a letter.
Except he's dead. Or we think he's dead.
Miss Bolton, the mayor, reads reports about the problem before the incident in the inquiry. And a man from the funding office said the extra funding wouldn't have made a difference. At this point, Nellie realizes that the government's trying to cover up their fault in the situation. And Billy comes to give his testimony and he hasn't been sleeping and struggling with what Nellie said with the wake. He determines to clear things up for Nellie, no matter how much it would cause issues or speak unimaginable truth. He wants to get it all out there. So Billy ends up starting out describing he was first on the scene and he tried everything to get people out. But he wasn't able to because of his asthma attack. Nellie realizes that there was no chance for Billy to save more people.
Crazy to me. The imagery of him trying to pull people out, but he can't because they're so smashed and didn't make sense with the rest of the details. Picturing that, trying to help and being physically unable to, I can't imagine. It makes sense why he had PTSD. I can't imagine how that felt for him.
Yes.
At one point, it talks about climbing on the pile to get people off.
Yeah. I still had a hard time imagining exactly how it was going. And then Nellie hears from Billy the nightmares he's having, that he still has to go back down the steps because that's his job. Clayton, Ray's friend, comes to Nellie's house to tell him that Ray was shot down over France and is listed as killed in action. I instantly knew that because they did not emphasize that he was for sure dead, he more than likely didn't come back. It was pretty obvious by the way it was worded. Nellie ends up having a panic attack. She takes off running to the church, to the place where Ray carved their initials, and collapsed crying. She starts pondering whether or not Ray ever received her letter saying you're not guilty for this instance, which we end up finding out later he did not ever get that letter. A month after the inquiry had ended, she ends up getting it back and reads through it with the mayor. The inquiry, she realizes and notates that she did not think it matched her notes pretty well, that they deterred a lot of the blame to the public in the mayor's office. Nellie goes off the mayor, tells her she should have spoken up more, and the mayor basically tells her to keep her anger in check because people already decided who were to blame before the inquiry happened. And the mayor said that this report is not going to be released to the public. That even more kind of angers Nellie. This is also the point in time where I realized how young Nellie is and how she probably wasn't as mature as she should have been.
They keep talking about how the war made her mature and lives out on childhood and her innocence or whatever. And then we turn right back around and she's childish and immature. Yeah. It didn't make sense.
Mr. Collins, the reporters, come back around and he said his story earlier had been suppressed. And Nellie decides that she would assist Mr. Collins in his story because she thinks it's unfair that it has not been put out in the public. Stan says that if the Home Office was to blame, people would be eligible for wages. She decides to go to her mother and convince her mother to take on a lawyer to take the case because she'll be directly affected by the loss to open that door for other people.
I really did not see us going down this line. Did not see that coming.
I think it was hard for me to comprehend that nobody had money. So what do you think you're going to get from this timeline? Which I guess in this time period, what she ended up getting was $176,000 worth of equivalent, which still to me is completely unrealistic for this time period. I just don't see where the Home Office decides they're going to give away $176,000 to each person directly affected.
They didn't really get to decide. It was ordered. But how they could have it to give it was interesting. I wanted more details about that.
And so Stan ends up convincing Nellie's mom to start the case to allow others to have that open door as well. Nellie's concerned with her position, but she's willing to take that risk. Honestly, to me, it came back to what you were saying earlier about them being a little shallow. Your family's dying. It's only been like a month since they passed away. You decide you want money. And then now that your mom's decided to go along with this, you're like, oh my God, my job.
If you lost your job, your mom can't afford to put food on the table.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who she's suing.
Yeah.
A court case takes a while. It doesn't happen overnight. That was a big risk.
Mm-hmm. Billy talks about his hauntings, having to go down to the tube, having the anxiety attack, and that he is now on blackout duty to make sure people are hiding their lights. He passes Nellie's aunt and uncle's place, which has been bulldozed. He admits a childhood infatuation with Nellie that's turned into adult love. He expresses that he's trying to be there for Nellie since she lost Ray. And he's hoping that after all of this, Nellie would realize that they should be together.
Why would you want to be second best because he's dead?
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
It was a little bit of an irrationality and immaturity, I think, on his part for sure.
Why would you want to settle for that? Like, it's not meant to be. Accept it and move on.
D-Day has happened and bombs are flying. Air raids are happening. George is now doing an internship for an electrician. Nellie's wages have kept them afloat to this point. The lawsuit is started to go somewhere. People are chipping in for legal fees. Nellie goes to work and ends up finding out the mayor has found out about the lawsuit. Nellie didn't have the respect for the mayor to kind of inform her because she wanted to keep her job.
That's crazy how she thought she really wasn't going to find out.
Nellie defends her mother's decision and the mayor still gets a betrayal. Nellie tries to convince the mayor that this is a good opportunity for the truth to come out. And mayor basically says there's more information than Nellie knows that she cannot speak of.
Which we never learn.
Not really, no.
I wanted to know. Why? Why did they hide it? I don't know if it's me being nosy or this big secret that nobody can know. You just don't make up one. That's why you didn't tell anybody. I want to know the secret.
I think it would have made Nellie more understanding, but at the same time, Nellie's not in a position where she really is entitled to most of that information. So I think that's why we weren't entitled to most of that information.
That's fair.
Stan or Mr. Collins stops by and tells Nellie's mom that she will have to make a statement. Nellie's going to help her mom come up with a statement. Nellie starts pondering how Billy's been a help for her, making her feel like herself again. Then the court day comes around and Nellie cannot go into the courtroom. She has to wait in the hall and her mom comes out.
I have a lot of opinions when people mess things up, but she doesn't have to be in there. You can have a criminal trial without the defendant if they choose not to appear. I chalked it up to the differences between the fact that this is England and we may be different, and I just let it go.
Yeah.
But like this, like denying the public the right to be in the trial.
Mom feels good about her statement. Her attorney comes the next day to tell her she's won the case. She got £1,550 for the loss of her husband and daughter, which whenever I Googled it in 1940s, basically what it stated that the equivalent would be is $176,000, and which at the time is a lot of money. They state that's a lot of money as well. But again, how they came up with that money doesn't quite make sense. But
agreed.
Stan is there, and he said that the judge has actually made the decision to publish his verdict and that there will be more lawsuits. Stan is very confused why the counsel has shouldered the blame and won't speak up at the hearing. And so whenever she's going back to work the next day, the mayor's being shouted at for being a murderer and, you know, is upset the fact that she's being called this. And Nellie kind of asked her, like, why didn't you defend yourself? Why didn't you defend the counsel? And she says that she can't say. And Nellie realizes that she started seeing the world as before the incident and after the incident. And so as she disappears to go get the mayor something to drink, the mayor is talking to somebody on the phone and she overhears a conversation about the Home Office apparently covered the payments as long as the mayor is the scapegoat. She states she's fine with that as long as people are getting paid what they're owed. Nellie decides not to tell Stan, so the people of the town realize who is responsible.
I think that was a mistake.
If she really cared about the mayor.
The mayor was getting death threats.
But we get where Billy and Nellie are fine with each other and walking in the park, holding hands. Nellie starts pondering how well of a father and a husband Billy would make. Billy decides to ask her out on a date. Yeah, it's just weird. Next thing you know, Hitler is dead. The war in Europe is over. Billy and Nellie have been dating for some time and they're celebrating in the neighborhood about the war is over. And Nellie basically tells Billy that if you ask me to marry me, I would. And then he asks and she agrees. Nellie decided to stay in Bethnal Green with Billy. Mom assists to pay for Nellie's wedding. She talks about how much the love she feels for Ray is more than for Billy when they kiss. If you're still thinking about another man, don't get married. He deserves more respect. They decide where they're going to wed, other wedding details. They have this weird conversation about whether or not they're going to have kids. And Nellie just pretty much like, ew, I don't want to have kids with Billy. Billy's like, oh, don't worry. Like, basically, I can get condoms. It's fine. But they don't actually say it's condoms. So it's also like
weird.
It made me uncomfy. The conversation made me uncomfy because they were like, you're trying to be adults getting married and you're not willing to actually have a conversation about sex and kids. As Nellie is walking home that night, she ends up seeing a figure in the road and realizes that it's Ray. Ray describes he was taken hostage after his plane was shot down and just recently got released. He wrote to her while being captive, but the soldiers discarded. We do end up finding out that Ray never got that letter. Nellie had wrote to him saying that he was clear.
I knew it was a POW. As soon as I said missing in action, I was like, no, he's not missing. He's being tortured.
Yeah. And
another opportunity we just breezed past the gruesome realities of war. It did make sense to me.
Well, and I felt bad for him because he was sitting for years in this camp thinking he had killed Nellie's parents and she never, or Nellie's dad and sister, and she'd never forgive him.
It's 2 days till her wedding to Billy.
Ray asked her, do you love Billy? She's like, I love him in a way.
He's a great man.
But I'm never going to love him as much as I love you. Okay, then there's your answer.
Correct. There's your answer. Agreed.
And she says that she knows Billy will be a good husband and tells Ray she has to marry him because she can't ruin their friendship. And Ray's really understandable about it. He's like, I understand you thought I was dead. I just had to see where you were at. And now I know I'm going to go back to the U.S. Nellie's really upset because she realizes what her life with Ray would be like and that she could still have it.
It wouldn't matter what their friendship was because if she married Ray, she's going back to America.
True.
Right?
And it doesn't seem like she ever came back to London after that either, according to the epilogue.
Maybe once or twice she visited, but not consistently. What was it matter then about your friendship?
Yeah.
If this is her grandma's story and her grandma lived in America, how did Millie end up back here?
know.
Wasn't she born and raised in the UK?
Yeah, I think so. This lady never talks about how her kids don't come back with her.
It makes sense to me.
She's trying to put on a face that she's excited. She doesn't want her mom or Babs to know something's up.
She was semi-happy with Billy. It wasn't what she wanted, especially after Ray showed up. She was prepared to marry him, accept that fate, and make it work.
They walk down this aisle, which is basically the street to the chapel. People are lined up on the street watching
Gonna
her
get married
walk.
at the chapel where Ray and her carved their initials outside.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. They end up close to the chapel and finding out Ray is in the crowd. Her mom's like, "Oh my God, Ray, you're alive. Like, can't believe you're alive." And complete shock. Mom pulls Nellie to the side and she's like, "Hey, most people only get one chance at happiness, and here is your second chance." Like, you know, she's like, "Dude, I know this is what you really want. Let's take care of it." And she's like, no, I'm still gonna marry him.
Her mom was quick to say, no, baby, you're not. Her mom was like, nah, Ray is my man.
She knew that was what she really wanted. She talks about the comfy life she envisioned. It doesn't seem like that's what she wants, but she was still gonna stick to her decision. As Billy's waiting at the altar, he sees Nellie with Ray and realizes Nellie could never love him more than she loves Ray. He sees their future together and realizes that she'll end up resenting him because she did not get this chance to marry who she really wants to marry. He realizes this was probably the most mature out of any of the characters. I can't marry you. And she's like, "No, Billy, I'm going to go through with this." And he was like, "No, I'm not going to take the second chance away from you. This is the only way we can part in a mutual way that we're not going to be bitter towards each other." He ends up giving
Agreed.
Nellie the ring he got for her and their honeymoon tickets and tell her to go. And he would take care of the people in the church. George runs after them and says, "Here's a piece of Flo. It's the China dog Nellie had previously been looking for after promising to look after her mom."
I knew he had that. Which
That was the one part I did not think I had
I
not.
called everything that happened in this book.
That was the one thing I did not. In the epilogue, 48 years later, she goes up the 19 steps, and Billy is there helping her up the steps. And we end up finding out Nellie has moved to the US. Babs and Peter got married. Billy ended up marrying Amelia and had some twins. Ray ended up being killed by cancer, but they did have 45 years of marriage together. They end up having three daughters, they have grandchildren, and they live in Michigan. Nellie goes to the church where she identified the bodies of her family and the church where her initials are carved with Ray. She visits Flo and her dad's graves and makes plans to visit her mom's grave. And we end up also finding out that the council has now been absolved of any wrongdoing after the passing of the mayor. It ends with her singing to her family members' graves.
It was weird.
So, what's your final thoughts and ratings?
So, if you have me on Fable, you might have already seen this. I rated this book a 2. I think that's actually the lowest. No, the twin was lower. I hated that book. But, anyways, there were some good parts of this book, and I thought it had a lot of potential, but I just think it missed at almost every single opportunity that was there. And again, I don't know if that's a disconnect from the emotional aspect of the story within the actual writer. I don't know what happened, but maybe if it was marketed as a romance instead of historical fiction, I don't know. Maybe that would have been better. I don't know that I would recommend you attempting to read it. That's how much I disliked it. It honestly felt like a waste of my time. And surprisingly, the people dying, like nothing major happened in the story. Like there wasn't plot twists for me. I knew everything that was going to happen. It was predictable. I just didn't enjoy it, and I think it'd be a waste of your time to read it. That's really mean, and I'm really sorry. What about you?
No, I definitely agree. I think part of the problem for me was they were talking about how mature they are, but then they're immature. The lack of description to set up the events in my head. Well aware, if you've been a part of this podcast for a while, I miss details. I read so much into each section, trying to get details to be able to picture it where it actually fit in my head, and I couldn't still. And so, like, you know, whenever lack of details is not coming from Emily reading the details, that there's a problem. It just, like, I love the attempt that they did with the story. I think it could have been really good. I think they missed a lot of it. They missed a lot of it. It just, I don't know. It was just lacking.
It could have been so great, and I think that's where the disappointment is with me. I start my rating at a 3, go up or down from there. Because I'm being generous, it's a 3.25 for me. But I think it's a decent story. I think where they attempted to go, it was right. I know.
You're being so much nicer than you really think about the book.
I feel like they could have done better, but I do think it was a decent story. I will never read it again. I think for maybe...
Would you actually recommend somebody reading it now that you've read it?
It depends on the age range. I think I would recommend it for a young adult, but not...
What are we?
No, I mean like young adult, like I'm talking like 12 years old.
That's not like a teenager.
I would consider that.
If you like this episode, you might not have because it's pretty negative. But, or any of our other episodes, please subscribe to get access to bonus episodes randomly throughout each month or the fifth Friday if there is one. Season 3 will bring 2 parts of each book now instead of just 1. And we are going to start releasing every Friday again. So, just a heads up about that. We have extra content, community chat, and more on Patreon. And you can find any of our free episodes on any podcasting platform.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email, like we read them at carlmpodcast.com. You can also join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us and the latest news. Carl, do you want to let them know what our next read is?
On March 21st, we will be discussing The Deal by Elle Kennedy. I'm not a fan of this cover, by the way, but doesn't matter. The blurb for this book is, she's about to make a deal with a college bad boy. Hannah Wells has finally found someone who turns her on. But while she might be confident in every other area of her life, she's carting around a full set of baggage when it comes to sex and seduction. If she wants to get her crush's attention, she'll have to step out of her comfort zone and make him take notice, even if it means tutoring the annoying, childish, cocky captain of the hockey team in exchange for a pretend date. And it's going to be oh so good. All Garrett Graham has ever wanted is to play professional hockey after graduation, but his plummeting GPA is threatening everything he's worked so hard for. If helping a sarcastic brunette make another guy jealous will lift his grades and secure his position on the team, he's all for it. But when one unexpected kiss leads to the wildest sex of both their lives, it doesn't take long for Garrett to realize that pretend isn't going to cut it. Now he just has to convince Hannah that the man she wants looks a lot like him. But we do appreciate you tuning into this episode. We can't wait to hear your thoughts on this episode and book. Don't forget you can join us over on Fable as we read along for each of these books and discuss them. And as always, we promise to Carl them like we read them.